Good morning.
That doesn't work.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There you go. It doesn't work at home if we don't start until everybody's on the same page. It's good to see you all here. I'm glad to be here. It's good to be able to sit at the feet of my son and to admire the work that he does and to know that his mother taught him well and he took after her so well. And we're proud of him, and we're also proud of Shelley and Dan and Shanna Kay and the whole nine yards. Wayne worried me, though, when he first knew it was my time to speak, and he brought the vacuum cleaner around and set it right there. I figured he might think he had to come up and clean up after me when I got through. I don't know, so I'll prove up what I did. But anyway, Dan should get to Memphis in about an hour. Then Dan should leave about 4:30, headed to Australia for 3 weeks. So Dan is not going to be with you, but I'm going to do the best I can. As we study this hour, the book of Proverbs, Proverbs for Preachers. And so, by and large, majority of you in here are preachers. Most of you, if not preachers, are teachers. So we're going to take a look. It's interesting that the middle part of the Bible, as we have it constructed, Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes, the books of poetry, were written by, majority speaking, a father and his son. God used David, and he used his son Solomon, to write three beautiful books of poetry in the middle of the Bible, and put it in the middle of the Bible. Book of Psalms is a book that exalts and extols the majesty, the grandeur, the mercy, the graciousness, the loving kindness, the goodness, the strength of Almighty God. He took a man named David, whom he would say by inspiration was a man after his own heart after the end of David's life, to write about himself, to write about God, to show the beauty, the peace, the forgiveness, all the good things about God. He would take then his son Solomon, and he would write two books, two books, Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes. And after we read, by and large, through the book of Psalms, of the beauty of God, His graciousness, His grandeur, then God turns His eyes to you and myself. And he says, here is a way that you can live that's going to please me. If you want a challenge in life, take the book of Proverbs and read all 31 chapters. 915 verses that are there. And put every one of them to work in our lives as God pointed it out to be. And if we did that as preachers, it would be a lot less time to be involved in a lot of other things that some preachers get involved in they have no business bothering with. And if we could teach brethren to do that, they'd have a lot less time to gossip about one another and a lot less time to sit around and do nothing. They'd be working very hard to be like the God that the book of Psalms projects. And then God took the same son to write in Ecclesiastes about his search for happiness, his search for life that everybody in the world is trying to find through money, through wealth, through women, through music, through drinking, all the things that Solomon tried to be like God, to be happy with himself. And he comes to the end of the book and says, let's hear the conclusion to the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. To be like the God of Psalms, we have to fear God. To be like the God of Psalms, we have to obey his commandments. Why? Because everything secret is going to be brought open in the day of judgment, Solomon concludes. So we take the book of Proverbs, and we look at it this morning from a preacher's standpoint. What did God say to me and you? And I want to do this. I hope you have your Bibles, because I'm going to read a lot of verses, because that's what the nature of this lesson is going to be about. We're going to read a lot of verses and make some comments about them. But as we look at the book of Proverbs, there are a lot of words that jump out. And I tried to arrange this in a logical, orderly fashion. First, we're going to look at the word knowledge. As gospel preachers, we need knowledge, the knowledge of God's Word, if we're going to preach the Word of God. If we're going to be the herald, if we're going to be the workman for God, we need to know what He said. We need knowledge. With that knowledge, you and I have to come to an understanding, number two. What's God saying? What God mean? How does that apply to me? I have to understand that. And if I understand that means I'm going to put it into action. If I put it into action, I'm going to gain some wisdom out of deal number three. Wisdom, not knowledge. wisdom in the sense of experience, wisdom in the sense of practical knowledge, practical experience, putting things, my daddy would say, horse sense, common sense, the things of life. Every action is followed by reaction. Every action followed by consequence. That's wisdom. And if we know how to live and we know the right wisdom, then number four, we're going to talk about the fear of the Lord. It's used 16 times in this book, in that phrase, the fear of the Lord, as it applies to wisdom. If we learn how to act like God wants us to, we're going to learn to respect Him and be in awe of Him. And finally, we're going to conclude this morning by looking at the fearing God, respecting Him, having the proper awe that we ought to have for Him is going to help me as I deal with my mouth and with my fellow man. And the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about that. And you and I would do well to learn that. And you young fellows, you're going to learn that down the road. And some of that you're just going to have to learn in life, and you're going to have to beat your head against the wall till you figure that out. Those of us who are older, and maybe I'm maybe the oldest one, one of the oldest ones in here anyway, we finally learn that. Sometimes even old folks don't learn that. But we need to learn how we deal with our fellow man is how our reflection of our dealing with God. And the book of Proverbs shows that. So first we want to go to the word knowledge. The word knowledge is used 41 times, in 41 verses in this book. So it's used on an average more than once every chapter. So God was trying to tell us something. We need knowledge. The word knowledge primarily means in this book to know or to be sure of, have a surety to teach, to understand, to have understanding. So we gain information. Chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord. As gospel preachers, we never can and should even try to outgrow fearing God. It is His book. It is His will. It is His plan. It is His work that we do. We should always fear Him. I know preachers, and you do too, and have known, who pretty much elevate themselves to the level of God. In their own mind, they are God. They'll do what they want to do, the way they want to do it. They'll say what they want to say, the way they want to say it. They'll write what they want to write, the way they want to write it, because they're who they are. Do you know who you're talking to? They'll say. We as gospel preachers, when we have the proper fear of God, then that's the beginning of knowledge. I've seen a lot of folks who are educated in the school who have no sense at all when it comes to dealing with people. The fear of the Lord. In Proverbs 1 and verse 22, He said, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." The word simplicity there, and the word simple, comes from the root word in Hebrew, foolish or silly. So He says, "How long will you foolish ones love foolishness? Scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." In other words, He says, if you're going to delight in your foolishness, you're going to be like a fool who hates knowledge. Go to chapter 1 and verse 28 beginning. God says to those who don't seek wisdom when they have the opportunity, "They shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices," down through verse 31. So if we as gospel preachers do not seek the knowledge of God while we have opportunity, He says to us, "You're going to seek me one day, you'll not be able to find me." Why? Because you hated knowledge. Can you imagine getting to the day of judgment and never having spent the time to study as we ought? And that's one thing I love about where I am now, is that's what they expect me to do as a gospel preacher. They say, "We want you to study." That's a strange thought for me after 20-something years of being in places where they wanted me to lock the door, lock the building, unlock the building, make sure the air conditioner was right or wrong, make sure this was done, all those little things. Those things are important, but not for the gospel preacher. Necessarily, it wasn't my job, but I did it. Now that where I am now, they said, "No, we want you to study. We have people to open the building. We have people to know how to run a thermostat. We want you in the book so you can teach us how to do that." Refreshing, be that where I am. But we as gospel preachers need that attitude, because if we hate knowledge, and that means we don't love it enough, maybe, to study it, to gain the knowledge, to take the trouble. Brother Rick was teaching us about word studies. That was great. Eric did a great job on the will of God. We as gospel preachers must study. He says, because if you don't, it's going to show. It's going to show. And Paul said, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Brother Renshaw, you say that, which y'all shall reap. When I was in school preaching. But Galatians 6:7, God's not mocked. What we sow is what we're going to reap. We hate knowledge. We're not going to be the gospel preacher that we ought to be. In chapter 2 and verse 6, he said, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And I put this verse in here because out of his mouth comes knowledge. When I want to know what a passage means, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, as it were, because you fellows are, I know most of you personally and know how good guys you are, but we need to be reminded of these things from time to time. When we take a passage and we try to get the meaning, or we try to understand how this applies to life, I don't need to start with what Brother so-and-so said about that. I don't need to start with what this eldership thinks about that. I need to start with what God had to say about that. Out of his mouth comes knowledge. Then we can look around for some help. But out of his mouth comes this knowledge and understanding. Chapter 8 and verse 10, he said, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. 8 and verse 10. How many preachers, when they start looking for work, or when they're in a work and they have to make some decisions, judge it by what it's going to pay them. How much money am I going to get out of this deal? What's it going to be in it for me? We need money. We obviously need money to live and to pay our bills and to work for a church goal. But he says, receive instruction and not silver. And knowledge rather than choice gold. Not just gold, but choice gold. It would be turned in other places, fine gold. What is the most expensive, the most expensive thing or the most valuable thing to me and you? It's the knowledge of God. Choose that first. Choose that first. Chapter 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Chapter 9 and verse 10. In chapter 10 and verse 14, he says, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the fool is near destruction. Foolish. Chapter 10 and verse 14. Chapter 11 and verse 9, a hypocrite with his mouth destroy his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. In chapter 10, verse 14, and chapter 12, verse 23, he says basically the same things. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of the fools proclaimeth foolishness. Did you hear that verse? A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the hearts of fools proclaim foolishness. Is gospel preachers, is our job to conceal knowledge or to reveal knowledge? So what's he mean here? They conceal knowledge. That is, gospel preachers who are studying the book and in the book and following the attitudes and characteristics of God will not be arrogant people who try to show you how great they are because of what they know. They'll pick their time and place. They'll choose their words with wisdom. We will choose our words with wisdom. In certain situations, we'll keep our mouths closed until this time we need to speak. Other times, we'll open our mouth when we need to speak. But there are times when all we're going to say is going to add, or what we say is going to add wood to the fire, going to add fuel to the fire. A wise man will understand when to speak and when not to speak, and how to speak and what to say when he does speak. But you know how we learn that? Paul said in 2 Thessalonians to them, they needed to study to be quiet. That is, have the right spirit, right attitude, persona about us, who we are, our personality. We're not going to be somebody that has to pop off and show everybody how much we know every time something's said. We're going to choose our moments. A prudent man concealeth knowledge. But notice he said that the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. And the older you get, the more you see people. We were talking about this the other night. You can see what's going to happen to people most of the time if things carry out. You can see a guy start out and you can hear his attitude. You know who he is, know what his attitude is, and you can say, like the Lord said to Peter, when Peter said, I'm ready not only to die, to go to prison, I'm ready to die for you. And you see the Lord saying, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The Lord could see that. Of course, he was the Lord. But we can see that in people too sometimes. We see their attitude because they're foolish. They're immature. And of course, some people never mature past that. Same idea in Proverbs 13 and verse 16. It's the idea of knowledge now. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. That is how we deal with things. We'll deal with it according to knowledge. We'll deal with it according to maturity. As gospel preachers, we need to be careful. We go into local works, and we're in local works, where we don't get it all caught up in things that happened in the past in the sense of taking sides on, you know, you moved to a place, and I'm sure you've done this, and everybody wants to tell you everything that happened right before you got there. You know what? That's what elders are for. That's who should deal with the work in the local congregation, the people. Talked about this last night, too. Elders, that's their job. Mainly we're talking about elders to deal with individuals mainly in the congregation. A preacher is mainly to deal with people outside the congregation. He teaches. When you have personal problems, that's what the elders are for. That's what I love them. If they come to me, I say, you're talking to the wrong fellas. Let me give you their numbers if you don't have it. You call the elders. I'll help them, but talk to the elders. They're the ones. And that goes with the territory. The elders. A wise preacher will deal with things according to knowledge. In Proverbs 15 and verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Same idea. 15 and verse 14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feed on foolishness. Have you ever heard lectureships? See, coming here is so different than going to a lectureship. Coming to this, we're in class. We're here to study. A lot of people go to lectureships so they can get off in the corner and find out what's been going on all over the brotherhood since they've met last. And that's all they do is sit in the coffee room or the donut room or the Coke room and sit in the corner, and you can walk in and see them, right? In their little groups. And they're sitting there, and all they're doing is catching up on what happened. Catching up on, what's the last you heard about so-and-so? What's about so-and-so? And that's, you know, all they talk about. That's all the reason they go to places like this sometimes. And that's what he's saying here, that the heart of him that hath understanding seeks knowledge, but the fools feed on foolishness. That's all they want to do is find out those kind of things. We don't need to be preachers like that. We need to be preachers who seek knowledge. And when I'm talking to you, there's a big mirror right here after 25 years of trying to do this that I'm looking at myself, trying to teach myself this every day. Proverbs 17:27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Isn't it nice to come across guys, preachers that you can confide in, that you can talk to, that you know are going to have your best interest at heart, and even if you talk to them about things that maybe somebody else would run with and call, you don't telephone and call everybody, they're going to try to help you individually. They're going to try to help you. That's what he's talking about here. A man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Those kind of people are valuable. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Proverbs 18 and verse 15. Notice this warning, though. The ESV reads in Proverbs 19 and verse 27, cease to hear understanding, my son, or instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. It's one thing to know the book. It's another thing to know to learn from the book. We might be able to quote the verses, but can we put them into action? Can we listen to what they say to us? Can we see that looking at me? You know, we hate brethren to come out and say, you know, I hope they were listening today, preacher. You really told them. You really told them. You know, the preacher, the fellow used to come out every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and tell him, boy, you told him today, preacher. You told him today. So the preacher said, I get this dude. So he called him and told him they were having a special service at 4 instead of 5. So the guy shows up, and he's the only one there for services. The preacher gets up, and he preaches a sermon like that to wear him out. He goes to the back door. He says, now what's this guy going to say when he comes out this time? The guy comes out and says, preacher, if they'd have been here, you'd have got him today. Good sermon. We don't need to be folks like that. We need to listen. Ceasing from hearing instructions, we will stray from the words of knowledge. And the last one under this idea of knowledge, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Chapter 20, verse 15. We could have gold, we could have a multitude of rubies, but if we are men of the book and we know it and live it, That's a precious, that'll be a precious jewel to us. That'll be what we prize in life, is to know this book. And when somebody brings up a question, the verses ought to start popping through our mind. The principles ought to start going to work in our minds. We need that up here. We need to know where it is. We need to know the book. I don't make any apologies for being a proof text preacher. I quote what I say what I say, and I quote the Word of God, and I give verses for it. That's the only way I know to do it, the only way I'm going to do it till I die, unless I lose my mind. That's the way that's a precious jewel to me, is to know this book. And I never learned it all. I mean, the more you dig, Paul said, the unsearchable riches. The more you dig, the more beautiful it gets, but the deeper it gets. The more you just dive on in there, and just and never come out. Then understanding. Okay, that's the word knowledge. What time do I get through? 10 o'clock? 11 o'clock? Oh, okay. I don't even know that much, so I'll be through before then. To separate mentally, or to distinguish, is what the Hebrew word means for understanding in the book of Proverbs. That is, generally understand, discern, have intelligence, know, mark, perceive, or be prudent. Understanding. You remember what the eunuch asked Philip? Or Philip asked the eunuch, understandeth what thou readest? How can I except some man guide me? He did not understand Isaiah 53. He had to have some guidance to understand what it meant, to apply it, to know how that applied to him. Understanding is putting that knowledge into action in our life. Understanding where I am in this thing. How does that fit with me today? So here are a few verses that deal with this. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain under wise counsels. Proverbs 1 and verse 5. A man of understanding will seek the right counsels. He will consult the Word of God correctly. He will look to God. Just like I said in the outset, it's what God says that matters, not what Brother So-and-so said. Brother So-and-so might help us, but he can't help as much as God can. What did God say first? You know, if I studied that more, I might not have to worry about what Brother So-and-so says. I would know what my God said. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 2 and verse 6. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. God will explain it to me in the book if I keep searching. By and large, I can find what it means if I just stay in his book. Trust the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. But you see, I think it means this. I see it like this. How does God see it? What did God say about it? Lean not to thine own understanding. Trust the Lord. That's what the writer said. Get wisdom, get understanding, chapter 4 and verse 5. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth, he says. In Proverbs 4 and verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. I like that verse. With all thy getting, get understanding. In other words, go for it. Everything you can do is to understand what God said. Everything we're about is to understand what God said, to understand his will. Understand what is revealed in the Scriptures and how that applies to me and how that applies to the world and what I need to do with that to get that understanding. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Proverbs 8 and verse 14, he said. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for me, as for him that wanteth understanding, she said to him. Proverbs 9 and verse 4. Forsake the foolish and live and go into the way of understanding. Proverbs 9 and verse 6. Proverbs 10 and verse 13, in the lips of him that hath understanding wisdom is found. But listen to this. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. The lips of him that hath understanding in that wisdom is found. But when we don't find that understanding, we don't seek out that understanding and learn the wisdom from that, God's got a rod ready for us. He's got a rod of discipline. Either in this life or the next one to come, one or the other. If we don't follow his will, and if we don't make every effort we can to find it, find out what he said, and then work it out in our lives. Let's see. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty in spirit exalteth folly. Proverbs 14, verse 29. Well, there's about another 30 quotes from the book of Proverbs on understanding, but we'll just run the concordance and you'll find it's but taking the idea of knowledge first, and then understanding what that knowledge is. And then number 3, gaining the wisdom thereby. learning how that works out. The word wisdom in the Hebrew here means primarily to be wise in mind, in word, or in action. Exceedingly, teach wisdom. And it says, be, make self, or show self wise, deal wisely, make wiser. So how does this apply to me? What can I learn from this? I used to tell him when he was a child, and Shelly when she was a child, going down the road. They would ask a question, or I'd see something on the side of the road, or I'd see something happen, and I'd say, now let me tell you what this means right here. Let me tell you how this applies to life. And Wayne would say, he did his famous, he'd say, here comes another sermon, Shelly. Well, you know, I have an idea he's going to do that if he hadn't already started. He's going to do that with those girls. He wants them to understand how he loves them with all of his heart. He loves them with all of his life. He loves them with all of his soul. He's going to want them to understand what life can do to them. He wants them to understand to make the right choices. He wants them to have the wisdom to make the right choices. So they don't learn that on their own. They're going to learn that from somewhere. Come with a clean slate, depending on how you fill it up. And he's going to do the right thing. But we also, as human beings, need to learn from the Master. We need to learn what he has had to say about wisdom. What this book has everything to say about wisdom. But it's interesting that God chose a man to write this book who was endowed with knowledge and wisdom greater than any man before him or afterward. That would exclude the Lord, of course. But no human being ever lived wiser than Solomon, never will live wiser than Solomon. And yet, this man made the biggest mess of it he could. He took what God gave him and messed it up. But you know what? God still allowed him to come back when he wanted to come back. And God still used him in his service, even when he made mistakes. If Solomon would let him. Here, he says about wisdom. Chapter 2 and verse 2. So incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart unto understanding. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Oh, we read that verse, chapter 2 and verse 6. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Proverbs 2 verse 7. That's a great verse. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. When I want to know how to live in this life, I need to listen to my God. If I want to know the choices I need to make, I need to listen to what God has to say. He layeth up sound. I didn't look at that Hebrew word. I'm sure it means healthy. What it means is the Greek. I'm sure that word has something to do with something that's healthy for me spiritually. God's not going to limit me in a way that's going to harm me. God limits me to save me. God limits me for my health, spiritually speaking. He wants me to be in heaven. The whole Old Testament shows me. He wants me to be in heaven. He's going to teach me then how to get there. Look at chapter 4, verses 5 through 10. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she will keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to glory and to honor when thou dost embrace her. She will give thy head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. That's what God says about learning wisdom from him. In the book of James, if any man lack wisdom, what? Let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberty, upbraideth not. But you know what? That wisdom comes sometimes in the form of the testing of our faith. That wisdom comes sometimes in learning how to persevere persecutions. It comes sometimes in learning how to let it roll off your back. Brother Whitaker taught us in school. Love Brother Whitaker, my hero. Very practical man. He said, a preacher has to have the heart of a child and the skin of an alligator. And you know what? I live down here where the alligators are now. Just last weekend, friends came down from Mississippi. We went alligator hunting, found an 8-foot one right there by the church building in the bayou. We took pictures of it, got real close-up shots of it, and that dude does have a very thick skin on his back. We have to have thick skin to be preachers. If those things that people say about us and about our family are going to get into our heart and mess us up, we can't have that. We have to protect ourselves. At the same time, we can't become hard-hearted. We have to still have that heart of a child. It has to be tender. That's a tough job. It's a tough thing. But it's the greatest work on this earth. But he says here, you receive that wisdom and you stay in that wisdom and the years of thy life will be many. That is, the principles God teaches us will help us live longer. My son, attend unto wisdom, and bow thy ear to my understanding. Proverbs 5 and verse 1. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Proverbs 7 and verse 4. What should be dear to me and you as gospel preachers? What should be dear to us? Having the knowledge of God, the understanding of the will of God, the Word of God, and how that applies to me and be wise enough to use it. Those things ought to be like our family to us. They ought to be dear to us. I don't care if anybody outside or home, I live at home, and knows my name. I don't care if I get invited to go places to speak, whatever. I mean, I like that, but that's not my goal. My goal is to be a wise man. He's late in life, is to learn to be a wise man, to be somebody people can lean on. People can come and ask advice of, and they get sound advice, and it's coming from the Word of God. That should be our goals as preachers, not to be speak 100 times a year at different places. If we ask to do that from time to time, that's great. I love being here. But the goal is being a good local preacher. That's the greatest work on this earth. Greatest work. Get up every morning, walk out in the backyard, look at that beautiful sunshine. Most of the time, and I say, thank God I'm a preacher, and I'm a local preacher. The work that we do. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Proverbs 8 and verse 11. What a great verse. Wisdom is better than rubies. And everything else in this world, nothing compares to it. To knowing how to do the will of God, and to teach people to do the same thing. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom. Proverbs 12 and verse 8, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. That works in this life as well, but think about the day of judgment. Think about the day of judgment, and all of us are assembled again. We may never be assembled again like this together, but we will be one day. And when Jesus calls our name individually, we're all going to watch each other go up there. And if we go up there and Jesus says to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that's the only thing we're going to, that's all we're going to need to hear. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom. But, he says, a perverse heart shall be despised. When Jesus says, depart, I never knew you. That's the worst thing we could ever hear. If we're foolish in that sense of being opposite the Word of God, we'll be despised. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. But that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Proverbs 14 and verse 33. And again, same idea we talked about a while ago. Man who has understanding of the Word of God knows how to, But that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Okay. Again, there's about another 20 I had here. Well, let's go very quickly to think about the knowledge that we learn, the understanding we get from that, and the wisdom we gain from the working out of it helps us to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, he said, or knowledge. The fear of the Lord is hate evil, pride and arrogancy. The evil way and the forward mouth do I hate, Proverbs 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death, Proverbs 14 verse 27. The fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom, and before humility, or honor, excuse me, is humility, Proverbs 15, 33. 16 times that phrase is used, look those up, and all the things that go with that. And as we close, what's that all going to mean to me? It's going to mean I'm going to treat my fellow man like God would treat them. There are going to be some things I'm going to do and a lot of things I'm not going to do. Proverbs 15 and verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know that as well as I do. And in a congregation, there's nothing worse than church fights. Nothing more discouraging, deflating to the attitudes as church fights. That would stop if they could put a zipper on the mouth. But you know what? That's stopping the brotherhood of preachers if they put zippers on their mouths too. Soft answer. It's not the making of a man to be harsh according to God. He says here, soft answer turns away wrath. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Proverbs 15:23. Great thing. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Proverbs 10:20. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 17 and verse 28. Probably have about 1 minute left. Proverbs 17 and verse 28. And there's just too many verses to go over, and even in an hour's time, of all the verses that the book of Proverbs deals with how we talk to one another. Even a fool, he says, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool, if he closes his mouth, is counted wise. Proverbs 29:11 says that the fool uttereth all his mind. Brother Renshaw used to say, it's better to keep mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open mouth and remove all doubt. You know, and that's basically the meaning of Proverbs 29 and verse 11. And one more verse. Proverbs 18 and verse 8 says, found it right here, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And when somebody carries a tale about somebody, when somebody cuts somebody in the back, and that person finds out about it, a knife wouldn't hurt nearly as bad as the feeling you would get from that. Proverbs 19, I got one more verse here. I know we got to do this. Proverbs 18 and verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. If you want to destroy somebody's faith, you want to destroy somebody, talk about them and sin against them. Offended there doesn't mean didn't like that tie I got on. Offended there means cause them to stumble. We do something that causes somebody to stumble because of what we said, and then go back and try to win that person back. They're hard to be won back than a strong city walled up and defensed. There's a lot here, and the one who needs it most is doing the talking. But there's a lot of stuff here we need to consider as gospel preachers. If we're going to help them, we first must help ourselves. Thank you very much for your attention.